We want to speak today, Erev Shabbos Chazon, about this particular Shabbos that's coming up and its unique nature. On the one hand, we're in the very pinnacle of the 9 days, coming very close to Tisha B'Av at the beginning of next week. But on the other hand, it's Shabbos. And somehow in this word Chazon, we have to find a reconciliation, if you will, of these two polar extremes. Avelus on the one hand, which means, of course, grief and mourning for the loss of the Mikdash, but at the same time, the spirit of Shabbos, the Simcha, the joy, the being close to Hashem. How do we reconcile these two? And in fact, even without asking the question about Shabbos, the very moment we enunciate the word Avelus, the question arises. The Torah is Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. A person should never, chas v'shalom, be in a state of atzmus, of depression, of sadness, of despair. He's always got to be in an upbeat mood of simcha. And yet at the same time, he's obligated in the mitzvah of Avelus. In other words, the bottom line is that somehow we have to integrate simcha into Avelus. We have to find in the tragedy of Churban HaBayis some sort of more positive message that can engender Simcha. So first and foremost for today, I want to share with you a radical Chiddush, an approach of the Netivot Shalom, of the Slonim HaRebbe Al Pi Chassidus. And I could say about this Chiddush that what he's presenting is really ipcha mistabra. It's almost antithetical to everything we know and everything we think. Shabbos Chazon, based on, of course, Chazon Yishayo ben Amos, the language Chazon is very unique. We don't find it by other Nevi'im. What's special and unique about the Nevuah of Yishaya that the choice of the word here is Chazon? And when you think about it, Chazon, we conjure up an image of a beautiful, glorious vision of prophecy, but yet, when you read the Haftorah for this week's parasha, it's all tochacha, it's all rebuke, very harsh rebuke. Banim gidalti v'romamti. I have raised children v'hem poshuvi. And here, to use the term Chazon, furthermore, why Shabbos? We could have read the parshios here of rebuke, of tochacha, for telling the Churban any time before Tisha B'Av or on Tisha B'Av. There must be something unique about Shabbos that it was singled out. Shimu Shamayim Hazini Aretz Ki Hashem Diber. Again, Yeshayahu HaNavi uses a very, very unique phrase. And there's a sefer called the Pri Haaretz, which is of course a Kabbalistic sefer, and asks the question that we raised before: how do we reconcile Avelus, which is Atzvus, Yagon, together with the Simcha of life that we're required to have? Chazal tell us, Ein Hashchina Shora Ela Mitoch Simcha. Simcha is so critical that there's no Hashras Hashchina without it. And the pasuk in Tehillim seems to indicate that etzev is to be associated with avodah zarah. That's abeim kesef izav. There's a pasuk in Hosea that seems to indicate the same thing. In Eicha, it says ki Hashem hogal rov psha'eha, and the Gemara says that how do we experience Avelus for Churban Beis HaMikdash, and at the same time we have to experience Simcha? He says the following, this is the breakthrough. He says, when we grieve and mourn over the past, it's not a dead past. It's not something that was and is no longer. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Tainis, the Avelus has to be so intense because in effect we're witnessing in front of our eyes the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the pasuk means in Eicha Al Rov Psha'er. Al Rov Psha'er is referring to the chatoim that prevented God from bestowing good upon us. So the Jew is grieving over Rov Psha'er. It means he feels a sense of richuk, of being distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no Beis HaMikdash to come close. And he realizes that Beis HaMikdash, because of his of his richuk, is not being rebuilt in his time. But the answer is that, and this you'll see on the left column towards the bottom, it's page Yud Ches. There are two ways to do tshuva. There's sur mira and there's asei tov. We begin the process of repentance, of coming closer to Hashem, with sur mira. And God willing, we'll speak about this concept more in depth in a few minutes. The purpose and the goal of sur mira is to completely uproot all evil from within us. And then we're ready to go on to stage two, asei tov. When we are dedicated, when we are involved in ra, in evil, we cannot jump and move ahead towards asei tov. That's one derech of tshuva, and that road has to go step by step in that sequence, beginning as it were with sur meira and ending, culminating with asei tov. However, there is another approach, a different way of coming to tshuva. And this approach is much higher approach of tshuva. He calls it tshuva ilait, on a much higher level. And that is, that based on the Maral in Mesilas Yesharim, there's something called oneg, lis'aneg el Hashem. And what does that mean? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, Adam lo nivra lis'aneg el Hashem lehenos miziv shchinaso. The purpose of man, as a creature created by the divine being, the tachlis of a Jew, is to experience this tanug lifnei Hashem. And when a Yehudi, when a Jew is zocher to this tanug, then all the other pleasures in the world are considered secondary and are unimportant. And therefore, the ra, the evil, falls away automatically. It's not a two-stage process which begins with sur meira, in which we have to work hard, overtime, in order to uproot evil. No. In this second approach of tshuva ilait, because of the oneg, the closeness that we get to Hashem, the spiritual, inspirational moment, emotionally connecting to Hashem, the ra falls away. It just doesn't make any impact on us. It's meaningless. Says the Rebbe, if you want to pinpoint a moment of time in which we experience this lis'aneg el Hashem, and we drop the normal procedure that requires first, in the first stage, sur meira, it's Shabbos. The greatness of Shabbos is that it has within it a certain power that invests in us a certain energy. The days of the week are on a much level madrega. We must begin with sur meira. But in Shabbos, where we are invested with this higher energy force, the Jew has the ability, the capacity to begin with lis'aneg el Hashem. Chazal tell us, kol hashomer Shabbos kilchasa. What is the reward for someone who's dedicated to observe the Shabbos and he does it properly? Even if he was an oved avodah zarah kidur enosh, mochlim lo. Why is it that the Shabbos is so powerful that it could bring mechila to a person, even if such a person is on the lowest level of an Oved Avodah Zarah? And the answer is, because if he observes the Shabbos properly, he experiences the ultimate purpose of man, lis'aneg el Hashem, and therefore he gets an absolute mechila. So you see that there's a tshuva that obviates and circumvents the need for sur meira. There's no sur meira. He's an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why? Because Shabbos Kodesh is the moment, is the day of the week in which we are banim lamakom, banim Hashem Elokecha. When we are so close to Hashem, because Shabbos projects us in that closeness, then we experience a level, a status of banim. And banim, when you talk about a son, the relationship between a father and a son is above the normal interpersonal relationship, tanhaga, that normally applies between man and man. When a person reaches the level of ben, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him close, and there's such an intense love relationship that there's no need for Sur Meira. If this be the case, then let's swing back to Chazon Yeshayo Ben Amotz. In the case of Chazon Yeshayo Ben Amotz, what we're doing here is we are circumventing the need, the normal process of Sur Meira. And why is that? We're on the bottom right of page Yutes, if you have it. He says that the word Chazon refers to a certain greatness which is beyond human comprehension. Banim gidalti v'romamti v'ein poshubi. Even though there's pshia, even though you are rebellious, nevertheless I call you banim. Zerem areim banim mashchisim. Afilu kasher poshubi heim banim mashchisim. We still have not forfeited our status as banim. And if that be the case, then we maintain our level of Bechinas Banim even while we sin. It's a mind-boggling concept. Rabbi Meir in Masechta Kedusha Daf Lamed Vav says that even Chotim are considered Banim, and we passing like Rabbi Meir. And the father of the Rambam in a very famous letter writes that kol eila mishpatim brurim v'ochachos kayom shashem yisparach lo yisno sonu v'lo yasir me'elenu shem banim. He says we've deduced many proofs. The conclusion of them all is that it's absolutely clear. There are proofs that are irrefutable. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never despise us. He will never remove from us, the Jewish nation, the shem banim, that status. And even if we anger Hashem, nevertheless, our faith is that He will never betray us. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem is an absolute. It is an eternal statement. We, the people of Israel, called Bini Bechor Yisrael. And even if we don't have the real belief, nevertheless, we're still called Banim, Banim lo imun ban. And here we want to look at the Maharal Miprag in his famous work Netzach Yisrael. Says the Maharal, "Bechol inyan nikro banim, gam kasher ein poshim b'meizid nikroim." We are still called banim, and not only that, af im dvekim legamrei b'avodas kelilim. Even if we're dedicated to the worship of an idol, v'yotzim b'maseim and hakadosh baruch hu yus dvukim b'elohei nechar. We seem to be connected to the other gods, and we would think, we would anticipate that therefore we forfeit the shem banim. Oh no. Even in such a situation, we're still called banim. And why? Because there's no such thing as bittul, as undermining the status of Klal Yisrael as banim. And the Maharal's language is very poetic. He says, "Dover ze'im bo shinui klal." It can never be changed. Bechol chet asher yasu, no matter what sin they're guilty of, tia hachet mashahu, as severe as it is, nevertheless, we are still called banim. And that, says the Rebbe, is the madriga that comes to the fore, that's reflected in the bechina of Shabbos. Shabbos is the day in which it's obvious, it's tangible, that we are called banim. And v'shomer b'nei Yisrael Shabbos, la'sos Shabbos l'dorasam bris olam. It's a bris olam, b'nei Yuvain b'nei Yisrael osi li olam. Shabbos is a davar nitzchi, it's eternal, it will never be changed or abrogated. And so too, the Jew, even if he gets to the lowest level and he worships the idol, but nevertheless, he has the koach of the Bris Olam of Shabbos. And that's all indicated by the phrase, Chazon Yishayo. Chodsheichem u'moadeichem sona nafshi. Says the Zohar, Chodsheichem u'moadeichem komar, vilu Shabbos lo komar. U'begin kaksiv b'ni u'vein b'nei Yisrael. The great vision, the Chazon of Yishayo ben Amoz, is that even though God despises of our Rosh Chodesh celebrations, our Moadim, but nevertheless, He will never despise of our Shabbos. Shabbos gives the Jew the key to guarantee, to secure himself the status of Ben, even when he's Vait, when he's far away. U'b'ezem atzav shalo yiyah, hareyu kashrul Hashem yisparach mibchinas bonim, even if he's as guilty as Dar Enosh, for the violation as severe as Avodah Zorah. And therefore the Rebbe says on the bottom left, that this is the greatness of Shabbos Chazon, because Shabbos Chazon represents, perhaps, and he quotes the Abderav of the Oy of Yisrael, the greatest Shabbos in the entire year. I mean, that's a pella. I mean, you and I would have said that certainly Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos HaGadol. No, this is the greatest Shabbos. Why? Because we are now in the thick darkness, the deepest darkness of the Bein HaMetzarim period. We feel despondent. We feel darkness. And now we have the Shabbos. The Shabbos comes along and reveals to us that Chazon of Yishayo ben Amoz, that we are still and always continuously called Banim, even though Pashuvim, even in the worst Averis. And therefore on Shabbos, there's no room for Avelus. We have to suspend all the Avelus of the 3 weeks of the 9 days, because Shabbos is Ava and Dvekus, it's love and connection between God and Knesset Yisrael. There's no room for Churban HaBayis on Shabbos. Shabbos itself replaces the Bayis. Churban is only shayach during the weekdays, but not on Shabbos. And he quotes one of the Rebbes who says that one time it was during the 9 days, it was in the middle of the week, and he tells his Hasidim, please don't come to me on Shabbos Chazon, because even though the whole year round, every other Shabbos of the year, I have something to give you, on Shabbos Chazon, because it's such a sad day, I can't give you anything. I don't have the ability to create. Miyad nichnasa Shabbos. This is what he told the Chassidim before Shabbos. Then Shabbos came in, the Arlam, and the Rebbe sent him bo elai. Yeshli Ar, I have light to share with you. Yeshli Madregos, I can bring you up and inspire you to higher levels. Hakol Yeshno, everything's there. He thought, he was in trepidation that this Shabbos he wouldn't be able to function. He wouldn't be able to bestow and contribute to his Chassidim, but on the contrary, Shabbos was uplifting. It's not like the rest of the week. Shabbos Chazon is the gilui of the fact that Klal Yisrael are always mebchinas bonin. And therefore, if you take a look at the Gemara in Tainis, which is on your page Chaf, the Gemara at the end of the Masechta says that Tisha B'Av shechal b'Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av coincides with Shabbos, ochel basar v'shoseh yayin, and he eats kisuda shlomo melech b'shaito, it seems that it's permissible even to a person who normally on another Shabbos would not eat such a feast. He's eating a feast on Shabbos Chazon. And now it's not only Shabbos Chazon, but it's also Tisha B'Av itself. He says, this was the minhag of Gedol Yisrael. I never saw it. That on Shabbos Chazon, they embellished their food and upgraded it in comparison to a normal Shabbos. This is really something shocking. This is really something al pi derech hachsidus, the tzaddikim, the chassidim did this, because Shabbos is very special, especially this Shabbos of Shabbos Chazon. And if you recall the famous Medrash about the meeting between Adam HaRishon and Cain after Cain murdered his brother Hevel, and Adam HaRishon asked him, "Ma nasa bedincha?" What was the divine verdict handed down? Amar lo. Adam HaRishon was absolutely surprised when Cain responded, "Asisi tshuva min ispasharti." I was able to create a compromise with Hashem. And Adam HaRishon starts banging himself hitting himself over the head, so to speak, if that's the greatness of Kachal Tshuva, that you committed murder, you killed your own brother, and yet you were able to make a pshara, if that be the case, then it's absolutely amazing that power of tshuva, and therefore Adam HaRishon says, I'm going to implement the power of tshuva. What does it mean, this pasharti, this compromise? What is the nature of a compromise with Almighty God? And Adam HaRishon sings that psalm of Shabbos, Mizrashi L'Yom HaShabbos, because he does tshuva following the example of Cain. The answer is that Cain said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you're navnad, that you'll have to go from place to place, and he made an oath on Cain. So it says that this oath that was put, this the Tanchuma and Breish says, the oath that was put on Cain's head was Shabbos. In other words, even though that during the week he was navnad, he was a nomad traveling from place to place, on Shabbos Yishuv b'mekomo, he goes back to his place and he has Yishuv Adas. What Cain said was, Asisi tshuva v'nis pasharti imkoni, Asisi pshara. And what is that pshara? You know what? The rest of the week, I'm going to be an avel. I'm going to be navinad. I'm going to suffer this deprivation and this grief. But on Shabbos Kodesh, I go back to what I was before the sin. I go back to the madrega of Kodem Achet. When Adam HaRishon heard this, and he appreciated the koch of tshuva, and the koch of tshuva specifically of Shabbos, the oath of Shabbos that was given to Cain, in which one day out of each week he would feel like he felt on the same inspirational level of before the chait. If that's the koch, if tshuva could bring me back through the Shabbos to where I was before the sin, oh, then says Adam HaRishon, I have to sing the praise of Shabbos, Mizmar Shir Liyoma Shabbos. It's unbelievable that the Shabbos is such a high madriga that even after such a severe sin of a man committing murder against his own brother, Shabbos HaKodesh has the power to bring him back to where he was before the chait. Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos, Tov Lo Dos Lashem. That's the power of Shabbos. So Chazon Yishayo Ben Amotz, this Shabbos is the revelation of Banim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, no matter what sins that you violated, the Navi says, this is the eternal vision, the Chazon, that in Pnimius, on a deeper level, the Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love for the people of Israel, is Banim, and that will exist at every time, in every situation, even following the Churban. Shimu Shamayim Vazinu Aretz Ki Hashem Diber. The Dvar Hashem is considered eternal. It always exists. And that means that God says, my love for you will always continue. And therefore, we understand what Chazal mean when they say, Lo Hayom Moed Li Yisrael Ki Yom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? To call the day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash a Moed? The answer is that Moed means a rendezvous between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. It's the greatest revelation of the most intense love that Hashem has for the people of Israel. With regard to the Moedim, Shalosh Pam Bashana Yoretz Kol Schurcha, we have the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, and that is the Moed of getting together Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That connection is called Moed. That's what happened at the moment of Churban. And here's the bomb. At the moment of destruction, suffering, such anguish, that was the greatest gilui, the revelation of the love of Hashem for Israel. What a paradox. Because Chazal tell us that at that moment, the Kruvim were Ma'urim Zebazeh. Chazal say we could always look at the Kruvim and learn from the situation, the matzah of the Kruvim, what is the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. If the Kruvim face outwardly, each one faces the opposite direction, we know that there's a tremendous distance, there's a richuk. But if it's osim ritzono shel makom, if there's a closeness, then the Kruvim are ma'urim zeh zeh, they mamish hug each other. how can it be then that at the moment of Churban, the Kruvim were Ma'urim Zevazeh? And the answer is, the Avas Hashem was most intense during that point. The Avas Hashem for Klal Yisrael. On the one hand, it was Churban. It was Jewish blood flowing in the streets like water. But in the Pnimius, if you look below the surface, not in the physical level, but the spiritual level, there was a Gilui of Nitzchius, of the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael. And my Rebbe Rav Soloveitcher used to always mention the Medrash Rabbah and Eicha to explain why is it that the Avelus of Tisha B'Av in the afternoon becomes more light or more lenient. We find many kulas, you're allowed to sit, you're allowed to read the Haftorah for a Tainas Tzibur, and many other kulos, based on the Medrash and Eicha. According to Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time of the Churban, had to make a decision. It was a seesaw. Either he could express his wrath by destroying the people of Israel, or he could express his wrath by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the famous phrase, Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chamoso Al Eitzim Val Vonim. He saved Klal Yisrael and spared them from destruction and vented his anger on the Eitzim Val Vonim of the Beis HaMikdash. It means that even within the act of Churban, there's consolation inherent in the destruction. There's a light, and that light, although it's hidden in the darkness, reveals itself when the powerful love of Hashem for Yisrael is reflected. That's the Shabbos Chazon before Tisha B'Av. That's what it means that we rely on Hashem through this close relationship of Ava to spare us, to reveal His aura to us. And that's the Shabbos of Shabbos Chazon. It is the Shabbos of the most intense Ava of Hashem. The fact that the Jew on Shabbos Kodesh could obviate and circumvent all the needs of Sur Meira, go straight to L'sanig al Hashem, it's because of the Av of Hashem for us on Shabbos, that intense love. And therefore, Bizman Shayudi, Yavod Hashem Yisrael Togo, Av Mitok Amuna, Shalohaya Yom Moed L'Yisrael Kiyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash. When a Jew will dedicate himself to Hashem with love and out of a sense of faith, that's going to be the greatest moed, the greatest day of Simcha. And that's going to be, ultimately, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av will be converted to a day of Simcha. And he quotes the Magid Mimezrich on the Pasuk Kol Rodfeha Hisigua Bein HaMetzarim, that all our enemies catch up to us during this period of Bein HaMetzarim. He says, Kol HaRodef U'mevakesh. Let's look at this on a deeper meaning, and understand that what we're talking about is being mevakesh and rodev lahasig l'skariv l'Hashem Yisparach. That's what we can do dafka during Bein HaMetzarim. Of all periods of the year, the one that's most mesugal to reach this close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dafka the moments of Bein HaMetzarim. This is the pnimius of Bein HaMetzarim. We get caught up in the chitzonius. We see things from an external, superficial attitude. But if we understand it on a deeper level, then it's really the time of hiskarvus to Hashem. We can be rodvei Hashem. And of all the days of Bein HaMetzarim, the Shabbos, which is the greatest of all Shabbosos, according to this presentation, is the Shabbos of Chazon, which empowers us to reach Hashem on a closer level, to just jump over the Sur Meiran, L'sanig al Hashem. The Melech, the King, is there if we just reach out to Him. And we hope for Bias Mashiach. And this is inherent in the greatness of Shabbos HaGod. What I want to share with you is an insight of Rabbi Yoshua Pfeffer, which hopefully you see on your Mar Makomos page. We know that there's a basic difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And especially in terms of Churban, Chazal teach us that with regard to Bayis Rishon, there were severe cardinal averis, the three, the Gimel three. And as a result, Hashem destroyed the Mikdash. In the second temple, we're talking about the Avera of baseless hatred of Sinas Chinam. Now that we come close to the saddest day of the Jewish calendar year, Tisha B'Av, we want to think about destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and what lesson we can derive from it. And the answer is that the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Yuma something very important. And that is that with regard to the second Beis HaMikdash, there were people who were righteous, there were tzaddikim, there were individuals who were scholars, they were chachamim. They weren't guilty, chas v'shalom, of any of the severe averos, but nevertheless, they were guilty of sinas chinam. And we know all the stories of kamtsa v'kamtsa, etc. Let's look a little bit closer. The Torah tells us in Vayikra, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha. These are very strict mitzvahs, but yet, despite their significance, they don't shine a candle to the three averos of Yehorik Valyav. So how could it be that if we have violated lo sisna sachicha, that's reason to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? How does that compare to the Gimel Averos Chamuros for which the first Mikdash was destroyed? And here we want to study an insight of the Maharal Miprag in Netzach Yisrael. The Maharal says the following: why is it that baseless hatred led to the destruction of the Churban HaBayis? He says the following: that it's very clear that the Mikdash, more than any part of our culture as Jews, unites the people and integrates them into one indivisible whole. There's one Kohen Gadol, there's one Mizbeach, there's an Iser Bamos. We're not allowing every individual to do his own thing. There's no division, there's no disparity amongst Klal Yisrael. The Mikdash has to function for that end. The goal is to integrate us all into one single complete nation. That's why Sinas Chinam was such a terrible violation that it brought down the second Mikdash. Because if we are alienated one from the other, if we're divided, then we don't deserve the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash represents and embodies Achdus, unity of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, during the period of the Mikdash, what would happen was that the Avodah of Klal Yisrael, every single individual member, was all focused on one point, on one place, one location, in Yerushalayim, on Har HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash is called, in our tefillos, Beis Chayenu. This is where we all live our spiritual lives. All of our spirituality is dedicated towards the Beis HaMikdash. But in the case of division, in the case of Sinas Chinam, when we're splintered, we don't deserve that power of unity of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash's greatest power, in a spiritual sense, is to unify the people. The fact that the Mikdash was destroyed is just simply a reflection or an expression of the fact that there was no justification for the Jewish people to have the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't on the level of achieving the Beis HaMikdash as a unifying factor. And here we have a fundamental difference between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second. With regard to the first Beis HaMikdash, we have all sorts of giluyim, all sorts of miracles that took place. In the second Mikdash, the Gemara says in Yuma, these were all lost. This is the Gemara at the end of the second Perek on Chaf Alf. The Gemara says that there was no Eish Min HaShamayim, there was no K'tores, there were no Kruvim, there was no Aron. The second Mikdash was faintly, remotely similar to the first Beis HaMikdash. And not only that, there was no Ruach HaKodesh, there was no Urim V'Tumim, and finally, there was no Shechinah. All these elements were lacking in the second Beis HaMikdash. That's the Gemara in Yuma Chaf Aleph. So now we can summarize very simply. The first Beis HaMikdash, there was Hashras HaShechina. And therefore it was very clear to see all the miracles right in front of your eyes. The second temple, there was no Hashras HaShechina. There was nothing supernatural. There was no miracles. The distinction here between the first Mikdash and the second Mikdash has something to do with national unity. In the case of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Achdus and the unity comes from above. The Shechina comes down from on high. But in the case of the second Beis HaMikdash, where there's no Shechina coming down from on high, where is the power and the force of the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, it's in the people themselves. And the Pasuk says, as you'll see on page 2, V'asili Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham, as opposed to the first Mikdash, where the Shechina comes from above. Here in the case of the second Mikdash, the Mikdash, we reinterpret the Pasuk. It's not V'shachanti B'socham, meaning it comes from above and it comes down B'socham. But we read it in a certain sense in the reverse order. V'shachanti B'socham means that to achieve the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Shechina was absent in the case of the second Mikdash, what happens is it has to come from us. It's got to be in the people of Israel. That's where the Shechina is. And here we have to see a pasuk in the third chapter of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah says in pasuk Tezayin, V'hoya ki sirbu ufrise v'aretz v'yomim ha'hema niyum Hashem. He's talking about a vision for the future of Mikdash. Lo yomru od Aaron bris Hashem. They're no longer going to say, where's the Aaron? V'lo yale alei v'lo yizkeru bo v'lo yifkidu v'lo yasa od. Rashi says, lo yomru od Aaron ki chol knisaschem teikdusha v'yeshkon ba ki ilu hu Aaron. Rashi explains that what Yirmiyah is telling us about the future Mikdash, and this is true for the second Mikdash, which is the Mikdash that Yirmiyah could have prophesized about, is that with regard to the second Mikdash, the Aaron is gone. And therefore, what are we going to do? Where's the Shechina? The Pasuk says in Shmos Chavhev, you know, Adati Lechasham, I will appear, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there. What's there? V'dibarti l'chami ala kaporis mibein shnei akruvim asher al Aron Eidus. If there's no Aron Eidus, then we have a problem. Where's the Shechina? And that's what we're saying here about Bayis Sheni. That Rashi is telling us that with regard to Bayis Sheni, even though there's no Aron, and even though there's no Shechina, the Shechina is carried by the people themselves. Knisaschem. When you enter in to the Mikdash, even though there's no Aron, you bring the Shechina with you. The Shechina is present within the people of Israel itself. And therefore the Aron will not be missed. There's no longer need for the Aron. The Aron is meant to carry the Shechina. But here the Shechina is carried by the people themselves, because the Shechina is present in the nation itself. So even though we really have to say that the second bias did not complete its task, it didn't reach its fruition, and the ultimate redemption was not achieved through the second bias, but the equivalent to the second bias is bias shlishi, which we're waiting for. That's what I used to hear from my Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim used to say that there's no three batim, there's really two batim. The third bias is a continuation of the second bias, and he proved it from many different places, but mostly from Zechariah Novi. So on Hanukkah, when we say Ozeg Mar Bashir Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeach, what we're really saying is that we're going to see the third Beis HaMikdash. The second Mikdash is the precursor for the third Beis HaMikdash. Shechina was present, but not in the same form as it was present in the first bias. In the first bias, it was there because of the Aron, the Shechina came down. But in the second bias, without the Aron, the Shechina was present in the people, in the nation themselves. And now we can understand why it is that Sinas Chinam completely undermines the second Beis HaMikdash and destroys it. What is the comparison? How can we even talk about similarities between the three Gimel Averis Chamurs that brought about the first Churban and Sinas Chinam that brought about the second? He says the comparison is not in the strict regulations and which is more stringent, which is more chomer, which is less, but we're talking about the impact of chet. The Shechina that came down in the first temple from above and revealed the presence of Hashem in the Aron, that was banished away by the grave and violent sins of Avodah Zarah, Gila Rais, and Shvichas Domin. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said with regard to the Dor HaMabul, Vayomer Hashem lo yadun ruchi bi'adam li'olam, I will never abide in man, or my spirit shall not abide in man forever, Bishkamu basar, because he is flesh. So the spirit of the divine cannot descend upon a sinful generation. But in the second bias, here we're talking about a whole different experience, a whole different essence. The Shechina dwells amongst the nation that we said. But what is the Shechina amongst the nation? That is to be one nation that loves each other, that has achdus. And now we become guilty of baseless hatred, of sinas chinam. We find, and this is in Medrash, Rav Meir Simcha in his Or Sameach makes a big deal about it. Chazal compared the generations of David HaMelech and the wars that he fought with the generation of Achav. Achav was a Rasha, he was a Chotei Machti, it was a wicked generation of Avodah Zarah, and yet, paradoxically, during David HaMelech's time, when they fought the battles, many Jews died. When it came to Achav, we were successful in battle, and the Jews did not die. Says the Medrash, because although, in contrast, with regard to the generation of David, there were Diltorin, there was Lashon Hara, there was splintered, split, the generation of Achav was a generation without Diltorin, without Lashon Hara, without Machlokes. There were no inner strifes or controversies. It was one people, united. And therefore, Hashem says, you have the Shechina within you. The Shechina gives you a great power. And what kind of sin will undermine the Shechina? Well, in the case of the Shechina descending from above in the first base of Migdash, you're looking for an Aveira which technically is more Chamura than other sins. But if you're talking about the Bayis Sheni, then you're talking about a different kind of sin entirely. You want to banish the Shechina in the case of Bayis Sheni, the Shechina is there in the case of Bayis Sheni because of the nation of Israel and their unity, their Achdus. And therefore, if we go back again to the Gemara in Yuma that we started with, the Gemara tells us that during the period of Bayis Sheni, the people were Chachamim and Tzadikim, and they even performed Gemilus Chasodim. So how do you reconcile with the fact that during Bayis Sheni they were Gomli Chasodim, and yet they were guilty of baseless hatred of Sinas Chinam? And here's the punchline, I think, a very brilliant insight. It's very possible to be a Gomel Chesed and perform acts of kindness, but they're not acts of love. They don't really reflect an inner state of Ahava. It's done technically, it's an obligatory mitzvah, but if it's performed without any feeling, then it's not really and truly. The key to the Beis HaMikdash in the case of Bayis Sheni lies in Ahava. Not in Gemilus Chasodim as a technical obligation, oh, I have to do this. You could be Mekayim Gemilus Chasodim and at the same time violate Sinas Chinam because you don't have any love. What you all you have is Minasafu L'chutz, it's just superficial. You're robotically fulfilling your technical obligation of Chesed. And if we bring this to our generation, then we have to understand that for us to succeed, we need Chesed, but Chesed on the deepest level. A Chesed that comes out of Ahava, that's genuine and that's sincere. And so that's going to bring about the Bayis Shlishi, because the Bayis Sheni was meant to be one nation indivisible. We fell and we were guilty of sinas chinam. But the next bias, which is a hemshech of the second one, that will be built through acts of kindness that were performed both by individuals and groups out of ava, out of true, genuine love, and not as a matter of regulation or obligation or technicalities. The time of Tisha B'Av is a time in which we should look inwardly to make a cheshbon hanefesh, and we should ask ourselves, where are we with regard to Avas Yisrael? Are we performing chesed out of a genuine desire to do good for others? Are we fulfilling the Torah out of a sense of Ava v'ahavta l'rech kamocha? And the more we move in the direction of Avas Chinam, towards love, towards unity, the closer we come to revealing the Shechinah that's within the nation itself, within Am Yisrael, and will be ready for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Yiratzon, may we be zochet to see that.